grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. From the Gospel for this Christmas day, the first chapter of St. John, the first and the second and the 14th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Once again on this blessed Christmas morning, we come to the manger bed of Jesus and there both contemplate and adore the great mystery of the Incarnation, of God in the flesh and blood, the very humanity that is yours and mine. I want to begin this morning by talking about the opening line of that delightful carol we sang at the beginning of this Christmas service. I think we generally understand the carol to be saying, God rest you, merry gentlemen. God rest you, comma, merry gentlemen. But when we look closely at the carol, you'll see that the comma comes after the word merry. So the carol, in fact, says, God rest you, merry gentlemen. God rest you, merry, comma, gentlemen. God rest you, merry. What a strange way of talking. Well, what's going on here is some very old-fashioned language, archaic language. It seems that in 16th and 17th century English, the word rest was used to mean to keep, to cause, to continue. And so the carol is saying, God keep you merry, God cause you to continue to be merry. But why does this even matter? Isn't it just much ado about nothing? Well, it does matter because the words of the carol, as they are written, tell us plainly that God is the source of merriness, of happiness, of joy, of delight. The popular misunderstanding of the carol places the merriness, the happiness, the joy, and the delight in us. And it's no secret that many of us are having difficulty in feeling very merry, very happy, very joyful this Christmas. Just yesterday, in one of our nation's more prominent newspapers, there was an article with these words as its title. This Christmas, hope can feel elusive, but despair is not the answer. And this is most certainly true. because of the child born this day of Mary, whom St. John in the Gospel for this Christmas morning calls the Word of God. The Word of God, as John writes in that marvelous prologue to his Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. St. John teaches us that from all eternity, the Son of God was the Word of God, the perfect expression of God. In the epistle that's read on Christmas morning, we're told that God, who in many times and in many ways spoke to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory and the exact imprint, of his nature. God has truly spoken to us, not only in words, but in his Son, who is his eternal Word. God, as he is in himself, is and will forever remain mystery beyond all human understanding. But this same God has, through his eternal Son and Word, opened his heart to us, and there we find the heart of a Father who so loved us as to give his own dear Son to be born for us, and to die for us, and to rise again from the dead for us, and ascend into heaven for us, that we poor mortals might, as St. Peter writes, become partakers of the divine nature. Become partakers of the divine nature. The joy of Christmas is in the Father's eternal Son and Word, through whom all things were made and are held in being, who, even as he lies a helpless infant in the arms of his pure and lowly mother, in fact upholds the universe by his Word of power. This is, as we sang in the hymn before the sermon, a great and mighty wonder, mystery and miracle beyond all human understanding. In one of his wonderful Christmas hymns, Dr. Luther sings, "He whom the worlds cannot contain does in Mary's lap repose. He is become an infant small who by his might upholds all. The Father's eternal Son and Word was truly made flesh and truly dwelt among us. And because he did, we Christians can in fact depict him as we do. So here in church, during this blessed Christmastide, we have this creche with the image of the Christ child lying in a manger. And at the altar, we have the image of the crucified Lord, whose risen body continues to bear the marks of the nails and the spear, the marks of his love. And we worship him, not only in words, but also in song. With our bodies we stand to praise him, and with our bodies we humbly kneel to receive the body born this day of Mary. In fact, all our senses are involved in worshiping him. When, like the wise men, we offer him the gift of frankincense, just as we sing in the familiar carol, "Frankincense to offer have I." Incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. So, God rest you, Mary, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born upon this day. God rest you, Mary, God keep you, Mary. God cause you to continue to be Mary as here on earth we continue to celebrate our Savior's birth until that day when we shall celebrate the heavenly Christmas with all the holy angels and with all God's saints in light. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.